And Elijah comes to them at the bidding of the Lord. They'd experienced 3.5 years of no rain at this point and drought in the land. And Elijah says in verse 21, he came to all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. And so Elijah presents this challenge to the people. Look, you have experienced the hand of the Lord and no rain and drought. How long and is it going to take? What's it going to take for God to get a hold of you? And he says, look, if Baal is God, then serve him. If God is God, then serve him. You can't ride the fence with the Lord. And so then Elijah presents a test to the people. In verse 23, in verse 24, he says, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." So the people agree to this test, this challenge that Elijah presents to them. And the idea was, it's pointless, it's worthless to follow after that which is false. And so let's put a little test together here. We'll have a sacrifice, and we'll put the bullock on the altar, but we won't put any wood on it. And the God that answers with fire to consume the sacrifice, that's the God. And then let's serve him. And so then the chapter goes on, and the people agreed to this test. They thought it was a good idea as well. And so from verses 24 or on down to verse 29, verse 25 says, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped on the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded." And we see the failure from the prophets of Baal and the truth that Baal was actually not a god at all, that he was a false god, that he was an idol, even of their own making. And the principle was that idols, even of our own making, will always fail, and we need to serve God. And we can be involved in idolatry just as much as the nation of Israel was, maybe different forms, but it's still going to be a failure to bring what we are thinking it will bring. And now we get to verses 30 down to verse 40, and we see that it's Elijah's turn. The test has been given, the prophets of Baal failed, and now it's Elijah's turn. And verse 30, our text is going to be from verses 30 to 40 today. "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things in thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. We're going to talk about Elijah's public prayer here in this portion and make some applications for us as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us here to understand your word, and not only to understand it, but then to make application to it, and then to apply it in our life. And Father, I pray that you would cause us to grow, Lord, cause us to be stirred in our own heart and our relationship with you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be people of prayer. And Lord, I pray that you teach us from your word here this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to notice is in verse 30. And the first thing we see in verse 30 is Elijah's compassion. You got to remember the story. You got to picture it in your mind here of all that's happening, all that's going on. The prophets of Baal, their colossal failure, even Elijah mocking them. But Elijah, when it's Elijah's turn, the Bible says in verse 30, And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He calls the people to come near to him, just like a shepherd would care for his sheep. After all the chaos of the prophets of Baal, after the mocking, after the ultimate failure that they demonstrated, Elijah shows compassion for the people because he really wants their good. This whole test in the first place was so that the people would understand again and come to the acknowledgement again that God is God and we need to worship the Lord, and ultimately that would be for their own good. And so Elijah, after all of this failure and all the chaos and all that happened, Elijah shows compassion for the people, and he calls them near to him so that they might be instructed in righteousness. But this is only a reflection of God's compassion, actually, for these stubborn people. Because all that Elijah did was actually at the Lord's bidding. Verse 36, Elijah states in his prayer to the Lord, he says in the second part of it, Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. All that Elijah did was actually at the Lord's bidding. And what was the desire of God's heart towards these people? Well, verse 37, the second part of it says, And Elijah was praying this to God. He said that the people would know that thou hast turned their hearts back again. This was a reflection of God's desire for these people. Even after the drought and no rain, after their continued resistance to God, the heart of God was still that the people's heart would be turned back to him again. And so Elijah's demonstrating compassion here, but it was only a reflection of the compassion of God for these people. God's heart was still to turn them back to himself for their own good, even though they were denying him. And may I say to you this afternoon, aren't you glad that the Lord is merciful and gracious with us? Aren't you glad, child of God? Especially when you consider your own life. Look with me in Psalm 103. Hold your place here and look at Psalm 103. Considering the times that I am stubborn with the Lord, considering the times that I fail the Lord, I'm so thankful and so glad that God is merciful and gracious with me. In Psalm 103 in verse 8, the Bible says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide," that means to contend or strive, "neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Here's a picture of the character in the heart of God towards his people, even people who are stubborn and rebellious and who reject him. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Verse 15 of Psalm 86 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Psalm 130, verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." Psalm 145:8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." What a wonderful set of truths. Amen. God is merciful and he is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. I don't know that you could say any more. And it's cause for us to rejoice, to bless his name, thank him, especially when we consider our own life. The times that I fail the Lord, the times that I'm stubborn with God, yet he gently works and doesn't reward me according to my iniquity. Because of his infinite goodness, God is not soon provoked. And you know, that actually is a lesson for us to emulate with others as well. We ought not to be soon provoked, and to treat others with graciousness. But even though God is provoked to anger by the nation of Israel, God will not hold that anger forever. And that was clearly demonstrated in his dealings with the nation of Israel throughout the ages. They would turn their back on God. God would be provoked to anger. They would be chastened of the Lord, and certainly God had chastened them justly in his anger, but yet his anger in due season subsided, and his mercy again would shine through to his people. When God did judge his people, he always chastened them less than they were due. He didn't reward them according to their iniquities, as the psalmist says. And his mercy is evident in the fact that he spares us what we really deserve. Amen? It's the Lord who is gracious, and it's the Lord of his mercies that we are not consumed. And I'm just so glad that God's love for me and his dealings with me, it's not based on my performance to him. Because of how often we fail. We see Elijah's compassion for the people. He calls them near. It's a reflection of God's compassion for them. Elijah wanted them to be instructed into what the heart of God was towards them, that their hearts would be turned back even after all of their rejection of God. Praise the Lord that he is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's full of mercy. Amen. The second thing we see in this passage is Elijah's believing prayer. And so, go back to our text there. Elijah calls the people near for instruction. The Bible says that all the people came near unto him. And then we find that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And then the passage goes on to say that he built the altar of the Lord. He made the trench. He put the bullock on the wood. He had them pour 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice. It filled up the trench. And then Elijah comes near in verse 37. verse 36 rather, and Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Here's Elijah's prayer. But before Elijah prayed, we need to understand and note that there was some preparation for prayer that took place. Because in verse 30, the Bible says that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord, not the altar of Baal, but the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Maybe this altar had been there for a long time, and it had long been in disrepair. Maybe it was an altar that was a holdover from the days when Israel offered sacrifices to Jehovah on the various high places. But Elijah, before he ever prayed, Elijah came and he repaired the altar of the Lord. And the repairing of the altar of the Lord signified coming to the Lord on his terms in repentance and confession. Sometimes our prayers are hindered. Sometimes our prayers are unheard because there needs to be some preparation. There needs to be some repairing of the altar. For God to hear our prayer, we need to repair or correct those things that hinder our relationship with Him. Maybe there are some things that we need to go back and fix. The Bible says that not only did he repair the altar that was broken down, but verse 31 says, and Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. How was it that he repaired the altar of the Lord? Well, the Bible says he took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Why 12? Why did, in front of all the people that Elijah said, come near, why did he take 12 stones and build the altar? Well, I believe that Elijah was addressing the situation of the divided kingdom. The northern kingdom of 10 tribes, the southern kingdom of 2 tribes. After King Solomon, Solomon's son, divided the kingdom. And in so doing, it was a departure from what the will of God was. The kingdom had been divided into the southern kingdom of 2 tribes, which was Judah and Benjamin. The northern kingdom of the remaining 10 tribes, they were separate kingdoms. And it demonstrated, listen, when Elijah took the 12 stones and he put them in front of the people to build the altar, it demonstrated that God had never accepted the division of the kingdom. That was not God's perfect will. And one of the things that always hinders the impact of God's people in this world is disunity. Disunity. God wants order, but God wants unity among His people in His church. God wants His people united and working together. I think that's pretty clear from all the things that we have covered in 1 Corinthians and even in the book of Romans, Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth, how divided they were. It affects not only people's relationship with each other, people's relationship with God, but it affects the ability to have the power of God and the Spirit of God at work amongst the people of God. Unity is so key. Elijah brought the people near and he prepared for prayer. He repaired the altar. He built the new altar with 12 stones. Demonstrating that the people needed to come to God, but they needed to come to God on His terms, in repentance and confession. They needed to have the same mind as the Lord. But then I want you to see Elijah's motivation for prayer. We saw here the preparation for prayer and the repairing of the altar, but I want you to see the motivation, because in verse 33, he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Here's Elijah's motivation for prayer. We read in this text that there was no great fuss that Elijah made. Remember how the prophets of Baal, they danced and leaped on the altar and they cut themselves as their custom was because their God wasn't answering, and they cried and cried and cried. They made this big to-do, this big show all day long for no voice. We don't see a fuss that Elijah makes. No excitement here by Elijah, unlike the prophets. He calmly builds the altar. They dig a trench. They drench that sacrifice and the wood with barrels of water. Plus, he puts no fire under it. And the reason was so that there could be no mistake about how that sacrifice was consumed, that it was the working of God that did this. No mistake as to who God was. And then he prays, and there are four things that are listed that indicate what Elijah's motivation was here. He says, first of all, in verse 36, that it might be known that thou art God. Here was his primary concern, his primary purpose, that God would be manifest, that the people would know that there's only one God, and that the attention would be drawn to him. And then he says, that I am thy servant. Here was the second part of it, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Elijah was mocked, Elijah was ridiculed, Elijah was sought after so that he could be killed. Elijah was hated, Elijah was blamed for all the things that were going on in the nation. And Elijah prays that not only would they know that you're God, but all the things that I've done them at your word. I'm just your servant. Elijah didn't want attention on himself. Elijah wanted the attention to go to the Lord. And then he says in verse 37 that the heart of the people would be turned back. Elijah sought no credit for the result of this miracle. It was all the work of the grace and the power of God, and Elijah wanted the people to have their confidence not in him, but in the Lord. He wanted that the people would have their confidence in the Lord and his word, which Elijah simply followed. He wasn't looking for vindication for himself. Ultimately, he was looking for vindication for God. It was for God's honor. That was the motivation of Elijah's prayer, for God's honor. And the Bible says in verse 38, then fire from the Lord fell. And I wonder if sometimes we don't experience the power of God, we don't experience the hand of God, even in miraculous things, because of our unbelief. And because we just don't expect great things from God that would magnify Himself in and through us. Why are God's people's prayers hindered so often? Elijah was making ready for something very bold. Something that he would have no control over. And not only did he put the altar out there, and not only did he put the bullock on it and put no fire under it, he dug a trench and had him pour 12 barrels of water on it, and the trench was full of water. But there would be no mistake. that God was the one who did this. It hadn't happened yet. But Elijah believed the Lord. And all the things that he did were at the word of the Lord. And his faith was in the Lord, and he prepared for God to do something great so that God would be magnified. I wonder if that's what we're missing sometimes. The fervent prayers of the righteous move the hand of God to accomplish his work in the hearts of people. And our motivation and the objective should be and ought to be so that people's hearts are turned back to the Lord and God is magnified. Why should we not ask?